Mintaka struggled against her bonds, twisting and tugging, bracing her bare feet against the struts of the cage to give herself better purchase. She felt the skin smearing from her wrists, and warm blood dripping down her hands and her fingers. But the leather thongs were tight and strong, and she could neither stretch nor snap them. She felt her hands becoming numb from lack of blood. Whenever she rested from her struggle, her eyes went to Mary Kara's limp body on the wheel. She called to her, "I love you, my darling. Merrin loves you. Don't die for our sakes. Please don't die." But Mary Kara's eyes were wide open, and her stare was fixed. Soon her eyeballs began to dry out and glaze over with a thin film of dust, and the flies swarmed busily over them and drank from the puddle of blood between her legs. Once Mintaka heard a stealthy scuffle at the entrance to the tent, and when she twisted her head she saw Hesaret's two maids creeping out of the tent. They were each carrying a large bag crammed with valuables they'd looted. Mintaka called to them, "Please, set me free. You shall have your freedom and a great reward." They glanced at her with startled, guilty expressions, scurried from the stockade and out into the road to join the retreating rabble of the defeated army passing eastwards. Later there were voices at the gate, and Mintaka was on the point of crying out. In time she recognised the coarse accents and managed to check herself. Four men crept cautiously into the stockade. By their features, dress and talk, she knew they were ruffians of the lowest sort. Probably members of those gangs of jackals and scavengers that followed every army for loot and pickings. She let her head sag and feigned death. The men stopped to examine Mary Kara's body. One laughed and made such an obscene remark that Mintaka squeezed her eyelids closed and forced herself to hold her tongue with the greatest difficulty. Then they came to her cage and peered in at her. She lay completely still and held her breath. She knew what a dreadful appearance she must have, and she tried to play dead.
"This one stinks like a sow," one remarked. "I'd rather have it with Mistress Palm and her five daughters."
They all guffawed at the jest, then scattered to ransack the camp for loot. After they had crept away, carrying what they could, Mintaka watched the shadows lengthen across the beaten earth of the stockade floor, while outside the sounds of passing wagons and cart and people on foot slowly diminished. Just before sunset the last of them passed, and the silence of the desert and the dead settled over the camp. During the night Mintaka dozed at times, overtaken by exhaustion and pervading despair. Whenever she started awake, she saw Mary Kara's pale body stretched out in the silver moonlight, and the terrible cycle of her grief began again. The dawn came, and the sun rose, but the only sound was the soughing of the desert wind through the branches of the scrawny thorn tree at the gate, and at times her own sobs. But these grew softer and weaker as another day passed without water. Then she heard something else, a distant murmur that grew into a soft rumble, and she knew it was the sound of wheels coming on at speed, chariots, for she could hear the hoofbeats now and the sound of men's voices growing stronger and stronger still, until she could recognise one. "Nefer!" She tried to scream his name, but her voice was a draughty whisper.
"Nefer!"
Then she heard shouts of horror and dismay, and she twisted her head slowly and saw Nefer storm through the gateway, Merrin and Taita close behind him. Nefer saw her at once and ran to the cage. He tore the gate off its hinges with his bare hand, then pulled his dagger from its sheath to slash loose the leather thongs from her wrists. Gently he drew her out of the stinking cage and held her to his chest. He was weeping as he carried her into the tent.
"Mary Kara,"
she whispered through cracked and swollen lips. "Taita will see to her, but I fear it's too late." Mintaka looked back over his shoulder and saw that Taita and Merin between them had cut Merikara free from the wheel and drawn the blood-clotted weapon from her body. Now they were spreading a clean white linen sheet over her body, covering the terrible mutilations. Mintaka shut her eyes.
I am exhausted by sorrow and grief. But, my darling, your face is the most beautiful and welcome sight I've ever beheld. Now, I'll rest a while.
And she slumped into unconsciousness.